Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This Saturday night at 7 o'clock, there's a night of worship. It's in Arvada at 72nd and Oak. That is where Denver Bible Church meets. You're welcome to come on out. We will worship the Lord, the night of worship, this Saturday, 7 o'clock in Arvada at 72nd and Oak. It'll be a great time at Denver Bible Church. Now, what an honor it is to interview a local pastor. Can I say local if it's south of the border? I mean south of the county line. In Castle Rock, Colorado, Pastor Dave Love of Calvary Chapel, Castle Rock. Pastor Dave, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
Well, it's really great, Pastor Dave, to have you on the show. Leslie Hanks is the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, and
right. She
came on the show and just was so thankful for who you are and the leadership that you provide at Calvary Chapel, Castle Rock. So I was hoping we could learn a bit about your church, but then also about your message, what you shared on Sunday and encouraging your church members to help protect the life of the unborn child.
All right.
So could we start with your testimony, Pastor Dave?
Yeah, I grew up in San Diego. I was a little bit of a surf rat out there. I was raised Catholic, and I came to a Calvary Chapel of San Diego back in 1979, back in the day.
Wow.
I had a friend who took me directly from the beach and said, hey, you're really going to like this place. And we walked into a movie theater that was made into a church, and they were playing worship music with drums, and I didn't even think you could use guitars and drums in worship.
Worship music with drums. I remember the heydays of the 70s and Christian music.
I was looking at that thinking that was pretty wild, and, and then the guy got up there, and he was in jeans and a T-shirt, and he just said, hey, open up to John chapter 5. I remember it to this day, and I didn't have a Bible. I was kind of looking for the seat in front of me to provide one, and instead I saw everybody had brought their own Bibles, and so I looked off my friend's Bible, and the guy went through expositorily chapter 5, and it was the first time I'd ever been in a church where I understood exactly what happened, that I knew who it was written to, why it was written, and the guy went through verse by verse, and I remember leaving there going, that was fascinating, and I think I could come here and actually learn the Bible.
Wow, this is exciting. And Pastor Dave, I'd like to share with you a couple things. By the way, a couple weeks ago, my wife Cheryl and I, we weren't surfing, but we were snorkeling in San Diego. And
La Jolla Cove.
We went out there for a friend's wedding and had a wonderful time. So you were raised Catholic. I was too, by the way, in New Jersey. And our priest told us, this is at St. Anthony's in Hawthorne, New Jersey, and he told us that the Bible is similar to Greek myths, and the stories in the Bible are largely mythical, and we were just shocked by that. Now, certainly not all Catholic churches teach that, but he did, and that was a tragedy, and so we felt like we were kicked out of the church. That's how we felt, but I ended up in 1979 living in Costa Mesa, California.
Yeah.
And for a year attending Chuck Smith's church.
Yeah.
5 nights a week.
And by the way, you can continue to pray for him. He's doing much better. The tumors in his lungs seem to be shrinking, and that's a praise report. Oh. But keep praying for that.
All right. Well, we will certainly do that.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Dave, we have some similarities, I think, in our testimony.
Yeah.
I went out to California specifically to study the Bible for a year went to the Monday night Chuck Missler Bible studies, and Chuck Smith and Keith Green would come in and he'd try out his new music on the congregation.
Yeah.
And I ended up spending time living with him and his wife Melody at their Christian community they had.
Right.
Resurrection Band in the 70s in Chicago. So had a lot of fun, and you're right, it was Christian rock and roll. Nobody had ever heard of that.
Especially coming from the Catholic Church, I didn't think you could.
Right. How about a guitar?
That definitely drew me at the time, but it was mostly when they went through the Bible chapter and verse that I was just enamored and just going, wow, I didn't know this. Like I said, I was raised in the church, and I got confirmed and when I was 12, and but I just never heard any of these things that I was reading in the Bible.
Right. So very similar, I could relate, Pastor. So you became a believer in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And what then drew you to the ministry?
Well, I think my story is a lot like a lot of people in the sense that I, even after that fact, I kind of backslid for a while, and then I rededicated my life when I was 27 years of age. And I was just reading the Bible by myself, and I came across the verses in Luke chapter 6, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?
Wow.
And I realized that God was speaking to me, and so I just kind of repented there and kept on reading, got to Revelation, where the Church of Ephesus, returned to your first love, and I knew I needed to go back to Calvary Chapel San Diego, which had changed their name to Horizon Christian Fellowship. And so I went back there, got involved with youth ministry, and became a youth pastor, and then about a year after that, I began an internship program, and I met the love of my life, my wife. We got married. I became an associate pastor, and about 3 years after that, God sent me to Denver, and so I've been here for 18 years.
Oh, wow. And your church, you know, there's so many things that make a church significant, and not necessarily size, but I'm curious, how many people fellowship at Calvary Chapel Castle Rock?
You know, that's a great question. I'd say probably around 800 or so.
Wow. So God is blessing a lot of people, a lot of families through your work. And then also, Pastor Dave Love, what we notice is that where there are strong Christian churches, like in Arvada, there are a number of strong churches, including Faith Bible Chapel, Pastor George Morrison. And when we go to get signatures, we get so many signatures out of Arvada. Well, let me tell you something that one of our friends did in Castle Rock. He went to a local block party and just to get signatures, and he thought, well, I have no idea. You know, my neighbors, I don't really know their views, but he said most of his neighbors signed his personhood petition.
That's great.
And I think that's a testimony to the churches that are salt and light in their community.
Yeah, and you know, we have a pretty good league of pastors here that get together to pray, and we pray on Thursday morning, and so I'm going tomorrow morning to make sure that they allow for the Right to Life groups to come into their churches and be able to get those signatures.
Wow, because the deadline is really fast approaching, July 31st. The signatures, as I understand it, have to be processed and then turned into the state. So they have to be counted, and they have to create a database of notaries and circulators and all that. And the government wants reports on all these things. So it's not as though it's easy to get a petition on the very last minute and then turn it in. So they've said now July 31st is their deadline. And boy, if one or two of those other churches would be willing to have some of the Personhood Colorado folks come on out to their church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night, whenever. Boy, what a blessing that would be. And I bet you they've got a lot of volunteers there. I'm sure they'll have people eager to go if given the opportunity.
Well, you know what was really interesting this last weekend is the fact that I didn't know that Colorado Right to Life was going to be there this weekend. And so I'm just going through chapter and verse. We're in the book of Luke, and I had a bit of a personhood message in my message before even knowing that they were going to be there. And so I look at that as just the sovereignty of God, his leading and guiding. I had no idea that they were going to be there this weekend. As I'm going through, it's just an obvious thing in my message of speaking of when life begins. And it was probably about 10 minutes of my message. And I moved on. And again, when they came that morning, we all prayed. I was just going, wow, Lord, you're just
God is good.
Put this on my heart.
Yeah. God is good. And there's something amazing about the way Calvary Chapel ministers. And on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, the churches that go through the Bible verse by verse, or at least go through books of the Bible, when you're in God's Word, God is able to use His Word and apply it to your life on a daily basis. And so as you're going through the Scriptures, you're giving every opportunity to the Lord to teach us and lead us. And I'd say that's a perfect example. So you were in Luke. So what was it in Luke that relates to the personhood effort to love and protect these unborn children?
Well, it was at the time in Luke chapter 1 that Zacharias has already been visited by Gabriel. Zacharias has already been told that he's going to have a son. And in verse 15 it says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Hmm. At that point we have another time where Gabriel visits Mary and pretty much tells Mary that she's found favor with the Lord, that she's going to have a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, and he's going to be called Son of the Highest. He's also going to be called the Son of God. And so Mary's all excited, and so she's impregnated at that point and then visits her relative Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Now Elizabeth is 6 months along with John the Baptist, and so it's there in verse 41, it says, "And when it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit."
Wow.
So if Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, then the fetus John is filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something about Mary coming, Elizabeth hearing her voice, and it tells us in verse 44, it says, "And as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." So John, being 6 months in the womb, probably a pound and a half, 9 inches long, has everything developed, eyes are developed, fingers are developed, toes are developed, shows he's already an emotional being at 6 months in the womb.
Wow.
And so he can feel emotion. He can recognize his Lord, because as soon as Mary came, he leapt in the womb, he recognized his Lord. And what that tells me, Bob, is that Jesus at that time would have been maybe a week old, 2 weeks old, a couple days old.
Yeah.
The zygote.
Yeah, zygote is the first.
John is giving testimony that is the Lord.
This is such an encouraging message, Pastor Dave Love, because you're coming right out of the Word of God.
Absolutely.
These are things that the Lord is interested in for us because he put them in the Bible. And when you said she was about 6 months, I opened up my Bible here to see what you're talking about. And sure enough, in verse 26, it says that it's the sixth month. A few verses earlier, she was 5 months along. She was pregnant. She had conceived and in her fifth month and so on. And then in the sixth month, that's when Mary conceived and she made haste to get to see her cousin or relative Elizabeth. And this is all exciting, and I pulled up American Right to Life's website as we're talking, and they have an article on the Bible and abortion, and it says here on this passage that the Greek word for the baby is brephos, if I'm pronouncing that right, and that's the word for infant or baby. So the Bible speaks of the baby in the womb as a baby.
As a baby, exactly.
And isn't that what hundreds of millions of moms say when they refer to the child in their womb? I've never heard one in my life, 53 years, I've never heard one say, "The fetus just kicked."
Right. It's the baby just kicked. The baby is 3 months along. And one of the things that I pose to the people, just to wrap their head around it, if Mary got an abortion, would she be aborting the potential Son of God, or would she be aborting the actual Son of God? And we know the answer there.
Wow.
And so that tells us that a zygote is a person. And at the moment of conception, that is considered a baby in the eyes of the Lord.
I'm writing down, it's hard to write while you're on the air speaking, but I'm writing down what you just said, Pastor Dave Love, because it's so very powerful. If Mary had gotten an abortion, would she be aborting the potential Son of God?
Son of God or the actual Son of God? And I think we know the answer to that.
Yes.
And I definitely want to say this to your viewers as well, as I'm sure that you are feeling the same way. There's probably many people in the listening audience that has this in their background.
Yes.
And we definitely want them to know when they come to the Lord, they just need to ask forgiveness for that. And if you've asked forgiveness of this sin in your life, then you're forgiven. And there are some people that were believers and have done this. They need to know the same thing. So long as you go to the Lord and ask forgiveness, that's the great thing about God. We're the only faith that talks about we're sinners and we need forgiveness through the blood and the gift that Jesus did on the cross.
Wow.
And so that is there for everyone
that
has done that.
And Pastor, you mentioned after you became a believer, backsliding for a time. Not only did I do that, but I destroyed my son's family, our family. I destroyed
right.
it with my own hands. And God is a God who forgives. He wants
Absolutely.
To forgive. He wants to bring restoration and healing. And so women who have had abortions so often are those who God uses mightily to minister to others who are hurting.
Absolutely.
Not that we want to sin so that grace might abound, God forbid, but
right.
God does take us. And like King David,
yes.
the terrible and horrific things he did, and there were terrible consequences. But the
yeah.
difference between him and King Saul is that he was sorry. He actually repented.
Absolutely. I'm actually teaching on Psalm 51 tonight for our midweek study in the park. And so, yeah, there are consequences to sin. There's scars. There's also psychological damage and things like that. But forgiveness is real. And forgiveness allows for God to pick you up and move forward in his grace and mercy. I have this in my background. As a guy, there's probably guys listening and saying, hey, I pressured my girlfriend to get abortion. I paid for it. Hey, I have that in my background.
Wow.
And so I'm very empathetic towards women and for men that
yeah.
have this in their background. And I'm here to tell them you can find restoration, you can find forgiveness and purpose and meaning when you bow the knee and you submit to the Lord and ask forgiveness for your sin.
Now, Pastor Dave, what are you doing in the park? You're having a Bible study in the park?
Every summer we like to get the people out. And so sometimes, I don't know if you feel this way, Bob, but, you know, as great as it is that teaching the sanctuary and stuff like that, when summer comes around, I'm so itching to get outside. I'm
yeah,
so tired
sure.
of the snow that we go to the park and we reserve an area and we bring hot dogs and hamburgers. Everybody brings a side dish. It's free to whoever wants to come. We're hoping to be a light and a witness to people out there.
Well,
and God's really been blessing. And last week we even had a baptism out there in the park, and we were able to baptize like 21 people.
Wow.
It was neat, and it was a great
witness
for those
ACLU?
Around us.
The ACLU wasn't there?
The ACLU, so far, it was not there.
Well, good for you. You know, Sunday, the weather was so beautiful, we got up and I asked my wife, I said, give me three good reasons why we should go to church today. She said, well, first of all, you're the pastor.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, good point. But outside, you're worshiping in the Lord's sanctuary.
Right.
He built it. He put the ceiling, the firmament over our heads.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, that is so very exciting. So tell us where Calvary Chapel is located in Castle Rock, because our station that we're on, KLTT, this is a 50,000-watt AM signal. We were in Larkspur for a couple days recently.
That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, and we got it nice and clear there. There's the Sunshine Ranch there, a Christian ministry. And, in fact, it goes into Nebraska and Kansas and even a little bit of Oklahoma. So we cover Castle Rock. So for people listening down there, where is Calvary Chapel?
Calvary Chapel is right off the I-25. As a matter of fact, you can see it on the west side of I-25 and Wolfensberger Road. And so you would just take that exit and head west, and the very next street is Caprice, and we're right there off of Caprice and Wolfensberger. So, yeah, we've been there for 5 years. We still have our lease there. We're actually doing a lot of remodeling on the inside, which is another good reason to be out in the park. While we're out in the park,
yeah.
we're doing a lot of laying some floor and some neat things inside the church.
Well, that sounds great. Do you have just a few more minutes? Because I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Psalm 51, and then reminisce a little bit more about the old days back in the late 70s and 80s with Calvary Chapel.
You have me until 3:35.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Well, maybe just a few more minutes then. Thank you, Pastor Dave Love. In Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, and create in me a clean heart.
Yeah.
Create a new heart in me, O Lord. And David asks God to restore him. And he says, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. And this is so relevant to the body of Christ. This theme runs through the scriptures where God says, you know, people think, am I my brother's keeper or what? God says, if you're aware that the innocent are being killed and you're not grieved and you're not trying to intervene on their behalf, then there's a guilt, a blood guilt that is on you. And we need to ask God to forgive us if we're apathetic, just like if it was toward blacks and slavery or Jews in Europe and during World War II. If we're mostly apathetic, then God is grieved.
Yeah, he who knows to do what is right and does not do it, to him it is sin. And last week, actually the week before, we started also a place where people can register to vote if they're not registered. And so we have that in our foyer of our sanctuary too, and we're going to keep it there for the next 8 weeks or so. And I pretty much told our church, and your listeners can hear this as well, but I said, look, I'm not telling you how to vote, but I'm here to tell you if you're not registered to vote and you don't make your voice known come November, you're in sin. And so for that same reason that you just said, we're not to be apathetic. We need to stand up for righteousness. And our vote is a voice to do just that.
Well, now, Pastor Dave, I'm going to process that. You know, here at Bob Benyart Live, we have been as involved as could be for 22 years, 5 days a week. And we get people to register to vote and try to stop the killing of unborn children and protect marriage. But I've never thought that through how you just put it. So I'm going to think that through and pray and try to understand.
Yeah, again, like I said, look, I'm not telling you how to vote. I believe that God is going to reveal to you how you should vote on things. I joke with my congregation saying, if you don't know how to vote, I would love to be able to help you with that. You know, but
vote early and vote often.
I do believe God will pretty much show you what it is that you're supposed to do.
Right. Like in Chicago in the machine there, the political machine, vote early and vote often. All right. Well, certainly when we have the opportunity to use our voice in defense of the voiceless, everything in Scripture shows us that that's what God cares about.
He does.
Everywhere. The widows, the orphans, the innocent. If it's a full-grown man who's victimized and beat up by robbers and left for dead, God cares about him.
Yes, he does.
And to come up with a version of theology that says, well, I don't need to worry about children who are torn apart by the abortionist because I need to worry about Sunday school.
Right. And
I need to pray before meals.
Right.
And I need to tithe, but I don't need to care about kids in my community being killed. That is so foreign to the Word of God.
Very foreign to the Word of God. And again, that's why it's so important to sign the petition. That's why it's so important to vote. That's why it's so important to let people know and to teach that abortion is not from the Lord and that's not an option. And again, my whole thing is that you have to teach everything that's in the Word of God. You can't stay away from the things that are uncomfortable for people.
I was at a Calvary Chapel Bible study when I first heard the passage in Deuteronomy 21, because going through the whole Bible, you learn a lot. And where God said that if there is a murder or if you find a dead body in the wilderness, measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding cities, because if he was killed unjustly, I'm going to hold the closest city responsible, because I expect that you will all build a culture that honors me and protects life. God expects
that. Protects life.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you make a mistake when you vote for life? Everybody's going to have to stand before God someday, even Christians. And I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord. And so you have to do something well in order to hear those words. And I believe it's everything for how you vote, how you've been using your giftings, how you've used your voice to continue to enhance the kingdom of God and everything that he teaches, Genesis through Revelation.
So, Pastor Dave Love, you have a prayer. Is it a prayer breakfast tomorrow morning?
It is. The pastors here in Castle Rock, we get together on Thursday morning, and actually it's at New Covenant Church in Larkspur.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Where we're meeting this month.
Wow, so very neat. And so thank you that you're going to encourage the pastors there to invite the Colorado Right to Life folks down. Colorado Right to Life, I don't know if you know this part of the history, but for a few decades, the Right to Life movement had said, we're going to win this war based on the laws of science, and we're not going to talk about God.
Really? And
yes, that was national policy. And Colorado Right to Life fought to change that, and they successfully have with the personhood movement, because the laws of science don't use the words right and wrong.
Right.
You can't find out what's right or wrong by chemistry or physics.
Yeah.
It's right or wrong because God created us in his image. And he says, so the God-given right to life has become the center, the vision of the personhood movement. And it's really restoring hope in people that there is a hope for our nation, our church, our families, in the world in Christ.
Amen.
So last thing, Pastor Dave Love, we're almost out of time, but way back then in the 1970s, do you recall the worship music that was just so inspiring back then that came through the Calvary Chapel ministry?
Absolutely. You know, with Love Song and all those guys that were coming through and the freshness that was coming through with the lyrics and the music that was coming through, it was very powerful.
Yeah, and I think that, too, has had just a tremendous impact on literally millions of people in America and around the world, the return to worship. I remember when I saw a guitar in church, I was in shock.
I was, too.
There was a guitar. Right, and we could worship the Lord with the talents that God has given us.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Pastor Dave.
Thank you, Bob. Pastor Dave Love.
God bless you. Appreciate you.
You too.
All right. That is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Castle Rock. And boy, we encourage you to go on out and visit if you live anywhere near there, I-25 and Wolfensberger Road. And I appreciate Pastor Dave for his support and being a voice for the unborn child. And it's a voice that God cares about. So thank you, Pastor Dave.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.